Good morning, y'all.
Good
morning. I am going to ask a couple of things. Okay, one, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles, and we're going to be over in Isaiah chapter 54. I've titled my sermon, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I will give you a heads up. As you can tell by your looking in your bulletin, I had no clue what I was preaching on come Thursday night, as the Lord hadn't told me yet. And it wasn't until probably last night that I figured out what I was supposed to be preaching on. So we're going to be looking at Isaiah chapter 54, and we'll be looking at verses 9 and 10. However, comma, I want you to put your finger there and put it to the side, because I want you to open up your hymnals. And I want you to turn to hymnal page 54, or hymn number 54. And we are going to sing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Because I sincerely believe we need to be reminded of God's faithfulness. Yeah, this is completely, even Emily didn't know that we're singing this yet. And I have memories of this song, and I pray all of y'all do. But I had a fellow deacon in my first church as a deacon. So we're talking decades. Yeah, decades ago. Yeah, thanks. And he was a big boy. Oh, gosh, he loved God. Oh, he was madly in love with God. And we would... Every so often on Wednesday evenings, we would gather, and instead of having a sermon or a lesson, we would sing. And we would purposely sing the unsung verse of whatever hymn was. You know, we're typical Baptists. Well, we're not typical Baptists, but, you know, we sing all the verses because we only sing one song because I like to preach. So therefore, you get one song and one song at all. So normally the second or the third or whatever verse gets lost. But anyway, he would sing, and as he would join into the chorus, he would just roll with the verse. And you would hear, and it was just oomph. And when we get to Great is Thy Faithfulness, I want you to sing it with oomph. Because you're not singing to me, you're singing to God. And acknowledging his faithfulness. Because God, above all, is faithful. We are everything but, and he is everything that is. And you know, the more we are reminded of that, I'd be willing to bet we'd probably stand a little bit taller and we'd have a little kick in our step. Because we serve a faithful God who is going to keep all of his promises. So, we're going to sing. Yeah, we'll sing all three verses. Miss Emily? And you don't have to stand for it.
Thank you.
That song should be written in your heart. Amen. And should be playing in it every day. We serve a faithful God. Now, back to your other hand. Open up Isaiah chapter 54. Please rise as we read God's word. And we'll look at verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 54, verses 9 and 10. For this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth, so I have sworn that I would not be angry with you, nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, nor shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. Now this is coming from the New Century Version. It's originally a children's translation. But hear these words. The Lord says, this day is like the time of Noah to me. I promised then that I would not never flood the world again. And in the same way, I promise I will not be angry with you or punish you again. The mountains may disappear and the hills may come to an end, but my love will never disappear. My promise of peace will not come to an end, says the Lord, who shows mercy to you. May the Lord add his blessings to the reading of his word. May we go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, as we come this morning, we thank you so very much. For Lord, you are a faithful God. And Lord, we need to be reminded of that faithfulness. And I pray that this morning you allow me that opportunity to do exactly that. Lord, to remind your children of your faithfulness. And that through that, we, your children, I pray will draw closer in our walk and our relationship with you. Lord, provide the words that need to be spoken. Lord, the hearts that need to be open to receive. And through it all, Lord, you and you alone will receive the honor and glory. We do thank you for it all. It's in your son's name we pray these things. Amen. Amen. You all may be seated, please. Isaiah, one of the largest books in the Bible, one that people really don't like reading because it is so long. It's so very complex, and yet it tells us so very much about God, his word, his relationship with mankind. Because let's put it to where it is in historical principle, what's actually going on here. Isaiah, the prophet of God, who has been called to preach to Judah and preach the message of repentance, of a nation, the lower half of the nation of Israel, that is preparing to undergo the punishment and the tribulation brought about by their continued rejection of God. Now, mind you, it wasn't just them that was being punished, but first it was going to be the top portion of the nation of Israel, the top 10 tribes that were going to be taken out by the Assyrians, never to come back. But the lower half is going to go into the Babylonian translation. Or transition, or however you want to refer to it. But they would come back. There would be a remnant, always a remnant. And Isaiah is reminding the nation of Israel of the promise that God had made in the days of Noah. Because the days that Isaiah were speaking were very much like the days of Noah. What was going on at Noah with Noah and his group right before they entered into the ark? Total debauchery. There was one family that had a relationship with God. That was Noah, his three sons, their wives. And they were set about building the ark. Everybody else was partying. Everybody else was doing whatever it was that they wanted, none of which had anything to do with the very God that created them. Mankind had rejected God. And we're not talking thousands upon thousands of years since the creation of man. We're talking just several generations since the creation of man. The population has boomed, and yet they've all forgotten about God. Except Noah. And it brought such pain to God the Father that he cleansed the earth. After looking throughout all of his creation, he found one man and family that were serving him. He saved them and flooded the rest of the world, cleansing it of its sin, removing the debauchery of man and the infection that sin had upon all the creation up to that point in time. But God had sat there and saw at the end, he too repented. And he promised that he would never, ever destroy the world again due to our sin. Or with the floodwaters, excuse me. And he gave us the promise of the rainbow. We've all seen rainbows, have we not? And I'm not talking about the flag that's become very popular. But those rainbows that just appear in the sky after a rainstorm. Sometimes it's a storm that we've laid witness to. Sometimes it's a storm we've not laid witness to. In fact, one of the most beautiful rainbows that I ever remember seeing was in the fjords of Norway back in the late 80s. There was no storm, but there was a whole lot of water in the air because there were waterfalls, glaciers, the whole gambit. And as we were entering this ford to play war games on this amphib I was on, poof, there's this big, beautiful rainbow. And I got my camera. It was a disc camera. You remember the disc cameras? I ran down the Berlin. You know, I got a couple pictures of it, and it's one of those, you got this picture, and you got to sit there and get real close to it to sit there and see. But I remember that rainbow. Gosh, it was so beautiful. So large. All the colors were there. And yes, it reminded me of the promise of God. Liv, just a few weeks ago, Brenda and Liv are on their way to school in the morning, and I normally get a phone call. Hey, can you order a donut and a coffee? Or hey, we're, you know, things are going great. But this one day she was all excited because they sat there and they saw a rainbow in the middle of the field in the morning that started and ended in the same field. Now it was a big field, real big field, but started and ended. And I asked her, I said, did you find the pot of gold? And she goes, no, that little leprechaun wasn't anywhere to be found. But again, God reminds us of that promise. And even here, as Israel is preparing to undergo their own punishment for their own rejection of God, God reminds them of his faithfulness to them. He reminded them of the events of Noah. And he made a comparison to Noah in the time because the nation of Israel had, they were really at a horrible state. They were doing whatever they wanted. They were worshiping whomever they wanted. God just wasn't punishing them because they had nothing better to do. You know, what am I going to do today? Let's go punish Israel. No, that's not what he was doing. He was punishing them for their continued rejection of him. He was punishing them for not adhering to his promises, his word, but also not answering his call to repentance. Isaiah walked out and started preaching repentance. All the nation had to do was repent. Every time in Scripture when God has called for repentance. He has provided safety. He has provided, say, you know, healing. He has provided, he's called back what it was he's promised. All they had to do was repent, restore that relationship, and continue in their walk with him. They needed to be reminded of his faithfulness. And that's exactly what he was doing, just as he was preparing to allow the Babylonians to come in, to take them into captivity. God's promises, he would never destroy them. He's faithful to his promises. In fact, what was the promise that he made to the nation of Israel? If you will follow me, if you will obey me, if you will be my people and I will be your God, you will become prophets, priests, and kings. That will happen. The only reason it has not happened in the year 2024 is because, and I'm not wagging my finger at Israel, because we're just as guilty here in the States. But the only reason it hasn't happened is they've continued to reject him. But God is faithful. And we know that during the millennial reign, who is it that's going to be in charge? God and the nation of Israel. They will fulfill the promise of being the prophets, the priests, and the kings. Not my word. Get in there and read. It's all right there. I promise you. Go back to the back and read. Book of Revelations, it's there. God is faithful to his promises. Just as he was faithful to the thief on the cross. You will enter into paradise with me. A man condemned for his sin who repented on the cross. As I sat there and preached a few weeks ago, he didn't go under the waters. And oh, by the way, we got the heater in for the baptistry. Got a little bit of rewiring to do because they changed the plug, but that's another story. It should not be hot or cold anymore. He didn't have time to sit there and walk an aisle. He didn't have time to sit there and join the church. He repented on the cross. And God's promise to him that very moment would be that he would enter into paradise with him. That night before the crucifixion, as he gathered with his disciples and he instituted what we believe to be the Lord's Supper, he sat there and instituted a new promise, the new covenant, that if we will confess with our mouths, believes with our heart that he is the Christ, whether we understand it fully or not, if we will confess him and believe, if we will have that faith, his promise is that we will spend eternity with him. Our God is faithful. Again, read the book of Revelations. Read the New Testament. Numerous references about the second coming, about the calling of the church home, about spending eternity with him. His faithfulness to forgive our sin. In fact, he sits there and says that our sins will be to him as far as east is from west, and they will be known no more. That our sins will be like tied to a millstone and thrown into the middle of the ocean, never ever to be seen again. He is just and faithful in all his words, in all his promises. Even the ones that we don't really like. didn't promise us a rose garden. You've heard me say it 1,001 times. He sat there and told us bluntly, look what they did to me. Don't expect anything different. My paraphrase. God's word. He didn't promise you that prosperity gospel. Not everybody's going to eat filet mignon. Some people are going to eat beanie weenies. He didn't promise you Cadillacs. Somebody's going to drive the Yugo. Even a classic Yugo. He didn't promise you that you would have bank accounts awash with money. He promised you that he would bless you to your capability. No more. He promised you that he would provide all your needs. Didn't say anything about your wants. Because I have learned I want a lot. I've also learned that if I got all that I want, I would probably not be walking with him. Because all that I want would become my own God. And as blessed as I am, I don't want to lose my relationship with him. God is faithful. He has promised me that I will get to spend eternity with him. Not because I'm pastor of Ivor Baptist Church. Not because I'm an ordained deacon. Not because I actually practice tithing. Not even because I bring my grandchildren to church. He has promised me that I will spend eternity with him because I have placed my faith in him. I've shared my testimony with you. I shared with you that I originally walked an aisle at the age of 14 and thought I had it all wrapped up right then and there. Only to come to realize at the age of 17 that I was lost and going to bust hell wide open. And I heard him call me one night while I was there at church camp visiting my friends. I didn't even wait for the invitation. I went and found my pastor and we went and prayed and I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior. I placed my faith in him. In him alone. Because I promise you, if Don Roberts Jr. has anything to do with it, he'll mess it up. He's going to do it that way. It's just Don's plan. Whether I like it or not. It's not my intention, but it works out that way. And God has always promised to keep his word. Hear the words that he sat there and spoke to the nation of Israel again. He goes, for this is like the waters of Noah to me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah would no longer cover the earth. By the way, have they covered the earth since? So I have sworn that I would not be angry with you nor rebuke you. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from you. I want you to think about that one for a second. No matter how far astray you may go, no matter what it is that you may commit, or do. If you have a relationship with God, he's not going to turn his back upon you. He'll let you fall in the hole that you dig yourself. He'll let you get that speeding ticket for doing 90 and a 40. He'll even allow you to sit there and go to jail for something that you did or didn't do. He'll even allow you to sit there, lay in the bed that you made for yourself. But he's not going to leave you. And he's going to wait. is he continues to call you to repentance, just as he was doing to the nation of Israel right here in the book of Isaiah. He was warning them of the imposing or the impending time that they would spend in tribulation. He was telling them that the Babylonians were coming. He didn't play I Got a Secret. He told them. He said, this nation is coming to take you away. Repent. Turn. But he said he would still be there with them through it all. And he was he not? And is. Was it not with Daniel that he was sitting there speaking to, letting them know, hey, yep, time's coming due. Yep, things are going. Daniel continued to be faithful. Was it not Daniel's writings that sat there and allowed the wise men to sit there and know about the coming of the Christ? God is faithful, my family. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. You know, often, more often than not, we sit there and we get so locked upon this moment in time, in this area surrounding me. God has promised me this. Why is it that we limit God to this period, this spot? That's been man's problem all this long. We sit there and the nation of Israel, as they sat there and they heard the preaching of the Christ, as they laid witness to the coming of the Messiah, they were still locked in the here and now. This is the man that's going to come and remove Rome. This is the man that's going to sit there and restore Israel back to our greatest time where we were the cat's meow. This is the one. This is the event. But God had wanted nothing to do with that because God's not talking about this particular part in time. He's talking eternity. He's looking for the long game. We're too busy playing for the short. Nor shall my covenant of peace be removed. God's promises are eternal. As Adam and Eve sinned, rejected God in Eden, he promised them that there would be one that would come, a man who would sit there and lead them and pay the price for their sins. They looked for it. In fact, as we're recording in Genesis, as Eve gave birth to a boy, it's a man, boy, just as God promised. Well, we're going to happen that soon. He came. We know him as the Christ. He sat there and promised as he fulfilled the law. He laid a new covenant. Do you have that faith? Do you have that relationship? If you do, you're part of. If you don't, you're not. Judgment is not going to be a willy-nilly thing. You'll either live by faith or you'll die by the law. Not my words, God's words. And oh, by the way, the law is incapable of being kept. But it does do one thing important. It points us to our need in that relationship with God. God has kept all his promises. He is faithful. To the highest extent. and we are anything but. We really need to have that chorus of "Great is thy faithfulness" written in our heart. Because I sincerely believe, if we truly believe that, we'll have a much stronger relationship with God. We'll be able to get up and walk. I was getting my oil change, not my oil change, I was up there at Star Motors getting my truck inspected Friday morning at 7:30 in the morning. And a gentleman walks in. He's got me by a couple years. And he sits down and he starts singing God's praises. Sat there and let me know that he had had the gout in his knee. The day before, he couldn't walk. Made it to the doctor. Doctor gave him the medicine. Got the whole history. But singing God's praises. Being faithful to God. As I shared with you at the beginning of the service, we're here for a reason. To be preaching that message. Not every message is going to come from a pulpit. Not every message is going to come from a Sunday school room. And more often than not, the message is going to be simply how you interact with your fellow human. Are you going to reflect the love of Christ in your actions? Are you going to allow Christ to reflect from you? God's faithful. Why don't we try to be just as faithful? I'm so grateful he is. And I'm so grateful that he still loves me even when I'm not. But let us strive daily to be faithful as he is to us. Let's go to Lord in prayer, please. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning. I thank you so very much, Lord, for being the faithful God that you are. Lord, you have kept every promise. And Lord, for those promises that have not been fulfilled yet, I know that they will be done. Lord, I know the nation of Israel will reign. I know, Lord, that you've already forgiven me of all my sin. I know, Lord, that you've already forgiven man of their sin. And the last one will be forgiven the moment they come to know you as Lord, Master, and Savior and accept your calling for salvation. I know, Lord, that you've not promised me anything here on the face of this earth. But, Lord, you have promised me an eternity with you. And, Lord, when I'm with you, there will be no pain, no sorrow, no tears. Lord, there'll be joy. There'll be love. They'll be all it is that you have promised. Lord, you've promised me a new body. Not here. No matter how much weight I lose or how many surgeries I had, replace whatever joint or, Lord, whatever it is, it may be my problem physically here. But Lord, you've promised me a new body when I get home with you. Well, I'm going to take care of the one that you've given me here. I am looking forward to that one. But Lord, most of all, you've promised me to spend eternity with you if I will step out in faith. And Lord, not only me, but all. Lord, it's our prayer. If anybody here, Lord, has not heard that call, who's not answered that call, today will be the day that they'll enter into that relationship and be a recipient of all your promises. Lord, if there's one here today that's struggling with whatever it is that's going on in their lives, I pray, Lord, that they will come and lay it down at the altar as you have commanded us to do. And Lord, as you fulfill your promise to carry that burden for us and carry us through it. Lord, you have made so many promises and you have shown yourself to be nothing but faithful. I pray, Lord, that we will see this and that, Lord, all present and under this word, Lord, will seek to be just as faithful, knowing that we will fail, but still striving to be just as faithful every day. We sing your praises. We thank you, my Lord, for first loving us. And it's in your Son's name we pray these things. Amen.